Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better.
Hello, Casey.
Hi, David.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I watched a show. It's called Haunting at Bly Manor.
Really?
Yes.
And how was that?
It was awful. What did you think?
About the same.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. But we watched the show.
We did. Hi guys, welcome. This is episode 6, and we are going to talk about the lovely show, Haunting of Bly Manor, today.
Boo!
Why are you booing, David?
Because Bly Manor sucks.
That it does.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Haunting of Bly Manor is basically the sequel to Haunting of Hill House, though they don't really have anything to do with each other.
They do a very American Horror Story kind of setup.
Right. A lot of the same actors, just playing different parts, a different time period.
Different stories altogether. I would assume that these universes are connected, but that's not really...
That's what I thought, too.
But that's not really what this is about. This story is this story. Haunting of Hill House is Haunting of Hill House. And then we have Bly Manor.
Right.
Two separate things.
Now, I definitely had high hopes for this show because Haunting of Hill House was incredible.
It was really great.
It was so good.
It was spooky. Mm-hmm. It was insightful. Mm-hmm. As far as like when it talked about life and death, it was heartfelt. Mm-hmm. It was smart and candid when it talked about childhood trauma. It was really good.
And crazy twists, too.
And crazy twists. Like, it was...
Something you did not see coming, for sure.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, this kind of came out of nowhere. It just dropped on Netflix.
Yeah. And I remember it was such a big thing, like Tiger King.
Yeah.
So, the hype for this show was pretty big, I think.
It was very big, especially considering it came out last year at the peak of Corona quarantine and all that.
Right.
Well, not the peak, but, like, late. Into it. Deep into it.
I know both of us were excited to watch this show.
I was excited.
And when we started watching, it was just like, ooh.
It was a huge snooze fest.
And I know it's pretty big for you when you start watching a show and you literally want to stop because you just can't even anymore.
Yeah. It takes a lot for me to quit much of anything, let alone a show that, like, this first season I liked. That's kind of hard for me to do. And the fact that this show managed to do that is a huge red flag, like, at least in my head.
Right.
And it's funny, the way I actually watched this show, there was a while there that I just watched the first 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped because I was bored. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, this isn't all that spooky.
I stopped because I was confused. Like, it's only one season. It's one thing to watch a show and there's, like, so many seasons and you stop because it just mm-hmm. kind of gets boring. But, like, this one, it's only 9 episodes, almost an hour each.
Right.
And I stopped because I was just bored. I was confused. I didn't get it. And it was like, this is nothing close to Haunting of Hill House.
We'll get to it when we get to it, but, like, I'm gonna guess you stopped around episode 5, because that's, like, easily...
I think I went a little bit farther than you but I believe it was episode... It was episode 5, yes, it was!
Yeah, episode 5
because I remember telling you, I was like, David, I'm so confused right now.
We'll explain later, but episode 5 is the weirdest, most bizarre and confusing of the entire season. And not in a good, wow, I never saw that coming, but more in like a, oh, okay, whatever.
And then when David started rewatching the show for the podcast, because we knew this is something, a show we needed to do, because like we both stopped because it was so bad. And when he got to episode 5 and he was like, this is so confusing, I don't get it. I was like, you're on episode 5. Are you not?
she
I know exactly where you are.
Casey kind of nailed it when she called out that I was on episode 5, because she was totally right. I remember texting her just all these different questions about, like, why is this happening? Where's this going?
Mm-hmm.
How would they know that?
They're good questions, but don't ask them because we don't know the answer.
No. If you know the answer to these questions, please like, comment, and subscribe.
Let us know.
Please, God.
Thank you. All right, well, now getting into the show. As we said, there's about 9 episodes in this season. You do not have to watch Haunting of Hill House to watch this show to get it.
Right.
But I would definitely suggest you watch Haunting of Hill House because it's way better than this.
Yes, it is.
We have the story of an au pair from America that arrives in England.
Played by Victoria Pedretti. Woo!
Yes, a.k.a. Nellie in Haunting of Hill House, a.k.a. Love in You Season 2.
Yes, and my crush.
So we see her. She comes to England to be an au pair for this rich family.
This little boy and this little girl.
Yeah. And
it's in this big mansion out in the country in England. Nowhere specific, just out in the country somewhere.
Yeah, and this uncle basically, he's like, I'm not home or barely home. There's a cook, there's a gardener, there's a housekeeper, and then there would be you as the au pair to take care of the children.
Who we discover is named Danny.
Yes.
The uncle is super disinterested, but played by the dad in season one.
Yes, 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 yes.
And the disinterested uncle is played by Henry Thomas, who's the little boy Elliot from E.T.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
He found work.
In both the seasons.
Good for him.
Yes. So
he hires her. She shows up, and things are pretty chill. She meets the kids. They're pretty okay. They go through a day, and it's pretty nondescript. Nothing, frankly, interesting happens.
Right. But then at some point, we do see Danny look in a mirror, and she sees this figure with, like, glasses with light in them, and it scares the crap out of her.
Some kind of specter.
Yeah. And she, like, covers the mirror, or moves away from it.
She refuses to look at her own reflection because this specter, this ghost, or whatever it is, seems to haunt her whenever she looks at her reflection. Specifically, only when that happens.
Right.
And that first episode ends with Danny being locked in a closet. By the kids, because they're trying to protect her from something. We don't know yet. And at this point, we see some figure kind of wandering the house and leaving some muddy footprints or something like that.
Yeah. And then we move on to episode 2, where we see Miles, the little boy. Well, at the beginning, we do see him receive a letter. We don't really see what it says. He starts doing terrible things at school. He starts acting out. He, like, kills little animals.
He breaks a boy's arm. He kills an animal with his bare hands. He just starts really acting out.
Yeah. And a part of them's trying to be, like, lenient with him because he lost his parents. But then, you know, he starts...
It gets worse.
Yes. And eventually they expel him. And we later see that the letter actually says, come home, from his sister. So it kind of seems that he was purposely doing all these things to get expelled to go home.
Which is a little silly because he could have just asked, like, hey, I really want to be home with my sister. Our parents just died or something like that. But he's a child.
I guess they just figure parents aren't going to listen to him.
And fair play, a kid would have some warped idea of what to do.
Right.
About getting home. But it's pretty solid, and that's pretty much the gist of that episode. Just, it's all about him acting out and all that. Episode 3 is all about the last au pair, who apparently was killed or died. It sounds like they think she killed herself.
Yeah.
And it's all about her story. We get to know who the man is that is apparently running around Bly Manor, and they don't know who it is, or at least Danny doesn't know who it is. And it's this man called Peter Quint.
She finds a picture of him with this girl and shows, like, oh, I saw him around the house. And they're like, oh, like, he's not welcome here. They call the cops.
Yes.
And they don't see him. They don't see him around and whatnot.
But then he appears and all the same.
Yeah.
So we just kind of learn all about who this former au pair was. She was Rebecca. She had really high ambitions outside of Bly Manor and being an au pair. She fell in love with Peter Quint, and it was pretty toxic.
Right.
Like, she just kind of gave up all of her ambitions. She was like, oh, Peter, whatever you want. Yes, okay, whatever you want, Peter. Yes.
And, like, when they were in the kitchen, the cook's name is Owen.
Yes.
She was trying his batter that they were making.
Some dish.
The kids were in there. They were all having a good time. And then later on, he was just, like, he was super, super jealous seeing her laughing with him.
Like, almost violent.
Yeah. And it's, like, that was clearly, clearly not the case. But his reaction is very toxic.
Yeah, it's real bad. That's episode 3.
There you go. You're welcome. In episode 4, we find out a little bit more about Danny and her past.
We finally get to see who that specter that she sees in her reflections is. It's her former fiancé, some person named Edmund.
It's basically her childhood friend. They've been together for years and years.
He loved her.
Yes.
but she...
She loved him, but she wasn't... It didn't seem like she was in love with him.
She didn't like him romantic styles.
Yeah, but they had been together essentially since they were kids. It was just kind of like expected for them to be together. And again, that's her best friend as well.
Yes.
So we see them, like, they're engaged and they're going through, like, their shower and everything.
Lots of pressure.
She looks lost. She looks like...
Confused.
She doesn't know what to do.
She's really suffering because she doesn't really want to marry him. But she's marrying him all the same. And she's just miserable. Like, they're going through all these fittings and all the things that usually brides would be happy about. Like, saying yes to the dress and on how the bridal showers and all this.
Yeah.
And she just cannot... crack a single smile. She's just miserable. Finally, she just decides, no, I can't marry him, and invites him to dinner. They're on a date. Things are going well. And I'm not sure we even see the conversation entirely as much as we just see Edmund burst out of a restaurant. They get into a car, and we see her pleading with him, saying, Edmund, please just talk to me. Please, this is how I'm feeling and all this kind of stuff. And then he wants to get out of the situation. They are in a car that is parallel parked on the road, and Edmund, in a fit, just
gets out of the car, and as he gets out of the car, so quickly, a truck just...
Without looking.
Yeah, he just hits him.
A truck takes him out.
Right in front of Danny, and obviously, it's traumatic.
It's traumatic. The last shot we see of him alive is actually of the light glaring off of his glasses, and that looks suspiciously like that specter...
That keeps haunting her.
And Edmund is dead almost instantly.
And she is just...
broken.
Right. I feel like she feels this is part of her fault. Obviously, they got in an argument. Nobody knows what happened prior to then. And she's just lost. She feels like she needs to get out. She keeps seeing his specter.
She's guilty.
Yeah.
She feels guilty, and she feels really weirded out by the fact that everybody's trying to console her, or the fact that her fiancé died.
You lost the love of your life. Oh, no.
Which was false the entire time.
Right. And she just gets out and flies out of America to Europe.
Presumably England, where she can become an au pair.
Yeah. In that episode, that also the kids distract Danny from seeing a ghost. The kids know to stay away from it, but they clearly are trying throughout these first few episodes to keep her from getting hurt from these ghosts. All these things. David fell asleep again.
What's that?
Here's the thing. Why haven't they told anyone, or why haven't those kids asked to leave the house? They see these ghosts. It seems as though they're the only ones that see the ghosts right now. It doesn't seem like anybody else working in the house does. Nobody knows. Obviously, they are children, but it doesn't seem like they've even tried to tell anyone. There's things going on in this house, like, there's ghosts, and the adults might be like, oh,
you whatever.
Know. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like they've even tried.
It's kind of nuts. This whole show wants to pretend that it's a horror story. And just no spooky things happen. No scary things happen. The scariest thing that has happened 4 episodes in is maybe one jump scare from the Edmund ghost or the Edmund specter.
Oh yeah, when he dies. That was pretty, that was like out of nowhere.
That was
so quick.
That was kind of freaky.
It's like one of those moments you were like, oh no.
But that's not happening now.
No.
There's maybe some tension in the second episode when Danny's kind of wandering the house at night on her own. After the kids kind of insisted, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
But then nothing happens to her and she sees nothing. So nothing really scary happens there. But then none of those things pay off in the background anyway.
Right. Well, moving on to the confusing episode.
Oh, God.
The most confusing episode, I think, is episode 5.
It's freaking awful.
Where we basically see Hannah, who is the housekeeper. Just to recap, Owen is the cook, Jamie is the gardener, Hannah is the housekeeper, Henry is the uncle that is, like, always away, Danny is the au pair, Flora is the little girl, and Miles is the little boy.
Let's kind of stop for a second, and let me just say, like, there's apparently been some kind of thread of a romance story going on between Danny and Jamie. I don't think it's set up super well. They have one or two conversations in the second episode. And then they have some kind of brief talk in the third one, and then they're making out by the 4th episode.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like they're falling in love. No. Like, it does seem like there's some crush. It doesn't seem like a real love story to me.
It doesn't seem like a deep, serious admiration that develops into affection.
Right. And obviously Danny is, like, she's running away from stuff, and she's also very confused by it all, so she doesn't really know how to react.
But they make out anyway, and then in episode 5, they start making out some more?
I guess.
Here's a pro tip for you writers out there, people. If you're writing a romance story, whether it's for TV or a movie or a book, it has to be very obvious to the readers or the viewers or the listeners or whatever that the couple is in love. But you have to be able to express that without the characters who are supposed to be in love saying, I love you, or just straight making out or having sex. If you can't do that, you're writing your romance wrong. That's why romantic comedies are usually pretty good at doing this, because all the time is focused on the couple.
Mm-hmm. Or like the moments that they share together, the looks that they give each other.
It's hand touching, hand holding, foreheads just being held together, falling asleep together on the couch. Aww. It's like all those cheesy things are just really effective at expressing and getting across the idea that these two people are in love, whoever they are, male-male, girl-girl, or male-girl. That's how it's supposed to be, but that's not what we get in Blind Manor. We get just this really rushed, oh man, you're a girl, oh man, you're a girl, oh man, you speak with an exotic accent, oh, I speak with an American accent. Oh man, I'm kind of troubled. I'm kind of stoic. Let's make out. Okay.
Yeah. It could have been written way better. Or brought out.
Just developed.
Yeah.
They could have just fixed that just by having them just really talk and get to know each other. And then have them be together right at the end. That's kind of how it should have been done. But no, they just kind of gave up.
Well, besides that being part of this confusing episode, the real confusing part is we basically see the housekeeper, Hannah, and we're seeing flashback memories, sort of.
It's repeated.
But also, like, she's talking to Owen in this flashback memory that does keep getting repeated, but it's not the same. Like, she'll be talking to him, she's confused. And basically, we find out at the end of this episode that she's actually been dead this entire full 5 episodes.
Apparently, this possessed Miles, possessed by Peter, pushes her into a well and she breaks her neck and dies.
Yeah. And it seems like Hannah doesn't know that she's actually dead. And it basically, it takes her back to the memory, and she looks and she has to see that she actually is dead. And she sees her body and she's like in such shock that she's dead. And she's been dead for, I don't know how many days, weeks, it's months it's been since like the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
But is, how do you not know?
It just, not know,
like, and she's a ghost. How's she changing outfits?
Well, here's a good question. How is it that all the other ghosts seem to know pretty quickly, or relatively quickly, but then she doesn't? Why is she different?
I mean, obviously seems like she's in denial, but
but there's no payoff for it.
Right. It just doesn't make sense. And also, the well is on the property, not far from the house.
Yeah.
Would you not smell a dead body?
Certainly Jamie would have by now.
Yeah.
There would be a deathly, deathly odor coming from that well. And what's really interesting about this episode is that we can kind of telegraph, this is where the writers kind of run out of ideas and content for the rest of the season. The rest of the show is repeated scenes, like that whole interview where Hannah's talking to Owen.
Mm-hmm.
There are other scenes where we're kind of flashing back to when Rebecca, the last au pair, was falling in love with
Peter
and all of this. And it's just repeating itself again and again and again and again and again. And it would be more interesting if there was a bigger payoff for it. But it's just more confusing than it is interesting. What was interesting about flashbacks, and there were a lot of flashbacks in Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about that is that it explained their characters in the
present. It explained so much, yeah.
It explained what their characters were like in the present and
and why they are about certain things because of the past.
And these flashbacks just seem to be about, like, whoa, wasn't that nuts? They were dead the whole time. What?
I just don't like it. It makes no sense. How does a ghost not know that it's dead? I don't get it.
And how did nobody pick up on that spell?
Right. This is why we were confused.
Yeah. It was enraging. How do they... Oh, God. Let's just move on.
Okay. Episode 6, basically, we kind of go through some flashbacks and find out a little bit more about Henry, the uncle. And apparently he has, like, a guilty... I don't know what you... It's not a ghost, but basically he sees himself, but looks like an evil self. And it's just... Is it real? It seems like he interacts with him.
But not really.
No, and it's just, it's basically him being guilty. Like, we find out that his brother and the brother's wife
were having an affair.
The wife was having an affair with Henry.
Right.
When she was married to the brother.
Right.
And then we later find out that Flora is actually Henry's daughter.
Right.
And not his niece.
And the specter that haunts Henry, like, we eventually just find out what it is. It's not actually a specter at all. It's just his guilt.
Yeah.
Which means it's just like Edmund, Danny's fiancé, the dead one. Because after episode 4, Edmund the ghost kind of disappears.
He's gone.
He just leaves the show.
He doesn't matter anymore, David.
The most interesting ghost in the whole thing just vanishes.
Yeah.
He's gone. Why?
Oh, well.
Oh, God. Like, it's starting to become comical.
Yeah.
Like, how do you make a show like this?
It's just confusing. It doesn't make any sense. And then we see Flora, quote-unquote, dream hop, where she goes to, like, her own memories of, like, her mom and etc. It's basically Rebecca, again, another possession thing, where Peter is possessing Miles, and Rebecca, the former au pair, is possessing Flora sometimes. But when they're possessing them, she's basically putting Flora in her own mind, in her own memories, while Rebecca takes over her actual body.
This show has the unique, very unique distinction of having the power to be both enragingly confusing, but completely forgettable. It's kind of nuts, because I kind of forget what happens in episode 7. It just kind of whooshed right over my head. I remember being confused,
basically,
but I don't care.
Basically, Peter convinces Miles to let him possess him sometimes.
Oh,
why?
Right.
Why? I don't know. He's obviously a kid.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier to manipulate kids.
He's a male figure. He looks cool. Yeah. All this.
He's just like, let me possess you because of XYZ. And the kid's just like, okay, I guess. And then we see a flashback of Peter and Rebecca when they were alive.
Yes.
And basically, we see how she becomes how she was, basically. How she became a ghost.
Yes.
And he gets killed by this, quote-unquote, Lady of the Lake ghost.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
She grabs his neck and snaps his neck. That's it. The end.
Gone.
He's dead.
We see his ghost just come appear right there.
Almost instantly.
Yeah. And then he goes to Rebecca and he tells her that he's a ghost. And what happened. And he says that they can be together forever if she lets him possess her. And he doesn't really say how or why. And he's just like, if you let me possess you, we can be together forever.
At this point, he possesses her and just walks into a lake and kills her, basically.
He drowns her. And his version of, quote unquote, being together forever is killing her too, so they can be ghosts forever in Bly Manor.
Yay.
Hashtag love. Hashtag, it's just...
Hashtag kick him to the curb.
Yeah. And it's... I don't get it. Like, obviously, he loves her. He wants to be with her. But if you really love someone, you let him go in this type of situation.
And I get this guy's kind of toxic. And I guess she's just dumb and in love.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... I would have wished that there was just more pushback to her. Like, maybe there's a period of time when she's like, oh, I'm thinking about it. Oh, I'm thinking about it. Oh, I'm thinking about it. And maybe he can threaten her emotionally and be like, hey, if you really love me, you'd let me possess you so that we could be together forever. Don't you love me? Or whatever. Like, there you go. That's a fix.
We don't get that.
You're welcome. And the show kind of breaks some of its own rules pretty soon, where we're kind of given to understand, if as a ghost you want to possess somebody, you need the victim's permission.
Right.
However, there is one scene where there is no permission from Miles, and yet, boom, Peter takes him.
Here's what I got from that. I'm taking this from, like, a vampire show. Like, a vampire cannot enter a home unless invited in.
Right.
And in most shows, once you're invited in forever. Unless the owner dies... Or unless, like, the ownership of the house changes.
Right.
So I took it as, like, when you let the vampire in, they're in for good.
It's ongoing permission.
Right. That's how I took it as. But sometimes it made it seem like they did have to say their saying that they say for them to
There's
possess.
A whole spell for this. There's an incantation.
Yeah.
It's you, it's me, it's us.
And then they can possess him.
That's the incantation. And yet... we just kind of ignore that. It's confusing. Like, that whole idea of giving ongoing consent, as it were, for the possession just doesn't really entirely hold water because we're kind of making that up. The writers don't show this anywhere in the show.
This is just our guess, and that's how I took it as.
We're writing the show for Mike Flanagan.
Isn't that not what you tell me all the time not to do, David?
Yes, it's freaking awful.
Well, continuing with episode 7, Peter convinces Rebecca that if they take over the kids, but quote-unquote permanently take over them...
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Basically, they put their kids in their memory, and it seems like if they take over their body this last time, they will permanently have hold of their own bodies.
And they kind of make it clear that the ghosts cannot go beyond a certain distance on the property.
Yeah.
They can't go beyond the property borders or something?
I assume.
I don't know how supernatural things understand property law and the delineations between the borders of Bly Manor and the rest of England, but I guess here we are. And
quit asking questions.
But here's another important question. Peter thinks that they'll possess the kids and they'll just go live out their lives doing whatever they want or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does he know that once they cross the border again as ghosts, that they won't be kicked out of the kids' bodies, even though they're possessing them with permission?
You know, David, that is a great question.
Oh, God.
All right, what's next? We don't have an answer.
There is no answer.
There you go. So, Miles lets Peter in this last time. He convinces the kid, like, this is what needs to be done, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, in front of Danny. Danny can now see them.
These For ghosts. Some reason.
Yeah. And then, Rebecca takes over Flora's body.
Yes.
And then, Miles slash Peter kind of gets taken away. They go to talk to someone. And then, Rebecca gets out of Flora's body. And apparently, she was pretending this whole time to her body because she didn't really want to take over Flora and, like, take her life.
Oh, whatever.
And Rebecca's just like, let her go, take her, get out of here. And she's like, what about Miles? And it's like, it's too late for Miles, he's gone. So she takes Flora's, they start running out of the house. She starts screaming, she's like, what about Miles? And she screams.
They stop for a second, then Danny turns around, and then the lady from the lake snatches Danny by the neck, and then that's where the episode ends.
David, when I watched this episode, I was on an airplane, and I was just like, let me just watch another episode of Bly Manor, whatever, and, like, I was on the plane. This was the only time in this entire series where I actually got scared, and obviously you can't see me right now, guys, but, like, I was sitting in my seat, and I was watching it, and then Danny turns around, and it's just, like, a loud sound, and she has hold of her, and it just came out of nowhere, and I threw my hands up. I was like, ah! I was like, okay, no more. I'm not going to watch it anymore on here.
That's really funny. It's funny because this little moment is emblematic of all the horror that happens in this show. Almost all of it is jump scares. There's no buildup. There is no tension that we have going into almost anything going on because it's all about people sharing their drama. It's kind of silly.
Yeah. Well, jumping into episode 8, which both of us agree that we think is the best episode of the series.
Yes.
It is the origin of Bly Manor and what came to be. We see these two sisters, Viola and Perdita, and they're living their lives, and basically they...
In the 17th century.
Yeah. And Viola gets married, she has a baby, and basically she gets sick.
She gets tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. And she's just super ill. She can't really function super well. She can't raise her child.
And they don't want the child near her because, you know, they don't want her to get infected, even though they're near her. So that kind of doesn't make sense. I don't know if they just don't want her near because they think she might get sick, or they just don't want her near because they don't want the daughter to see their mom like that.
I'll say this. Tuberculosis is, I think, supposed to be contagious. And so they do have good reason for avoiding her. But it seems like they're kind of breaking the rules because...
I mean, the sister takes care of her and touches her.
Directly. Without any covering or anything like that.
Yeah. And then the dad, Arthur, that dad slash husband,
does the same thing.
Yeah. So it's like, if they're touching him...
And kissing her on the hand, at least, in the forehead. Yeah. And what's kind of silly is that...
Hashtag no social distancing going on here.
Hashtag wear your mask.
Hashtag 6 feet apart, please, and thank you.
Amen.
So we get the history, and basically, Viola seems like she's gonna die, but in reality, 6 years pass. She's been sick this entire time, like, pretty bad.
Tuberculosis would kill you at most in, like, 1 year, maybe.
Yeah, and she has yet to die. Basically, her sister, Perdita, kind of comes to this conclusion where mercy for her sister, but mercy also, kill. Like, I'm done type of thing. Because it's been going on for 6 years. Her sister basically kind of acts jealous towards her because, like, she hasn't been with the husband. But, like, the husband obviously kind of looks at her. Like, it's been 6 years. He doesn't really have a wife anymore.
Yeah. Viola treats her sister, Perdita, abusively, even though...
She's taking care of her all the time. She's taking care of her
and raising her daughter. Thank you. You're welcome.
Ungrateful.
Yeah. And so Viola dies, and then she's...
Well, Viola's killed by
Viola's
her
is killed, excuse me. And she just kind of lingers?
Well, she told her husband before she died, she took all of her fancy dresses, all of her fancy jewels, puts it in a chest.
Keep them in a chest for our daughter.
Yeah.
Only our daughter.
Don't give it to anybody. It's just for her when she comes of age or whatever. So he essentially grants her wish. He puts the keys away. Puts the chests away. Fast forward, Perdita and Arthur get married.
They start having financial troubles, and Perdita just wants to sell some of these clothing items off so that they can, you know, recover financially.
Right. And he's just like, no, no. So she finds a key. She goes to open the chest.
She does.
Yeah. We do cut to a next scene where we see what Viola's been doing this whole time.
She's been in some kind of dream state where she's, like, stuck in some, like, otherworldly space, running around or something.
Yeah.
But we don't know what it is.
But she wakes up, she goes to sleep, she waits around, etc. And she's basically, it seems like she starts waiting for her daughter to open this chest. And she's waiting
for this moment. Well, we have to be told that. Somebody has to narrate that to us.
And then her sister opens it, and she sees that it's her sister, and she gets angry, and she...
chokes her out.
Yeah. As a ghost, chokes her, sister dies.
Arthur sees the remains of his second wife, Perdita, and then I guess concludes that there's some spooky shenanigans going on with the chest, and then dumps the chest into the lake. Yeah. Oh my god, she's a lake lady. Oh!
Final episode, the uncle is coming to Bly Manor finally, and we have the Lady of the Lake taking Dani, trying to choke her out and take her...
By the way, she holds on to Dani for at least a minute or two and doesn't kill her.
She takes her inside the house.
Yes.
And then Flora sits on the bed and basically, now knowing their story, Viola is basically waiting for her daughter this whole time. She sees a little girl. She thinks it's her daughter. She picks her up.
Close enough.
Yeah. She drops Dani. She picks Flora up and starts taking her to the lake. And then Dani comes back up, and then we have Henry run after the Lady in the Lake, and then she kills him, or so we think, real quick.
Snaps his neck.
Yeah.
Or chokes him out. Yeah.
And then basically we have Owen, we have Jamie, and Dani trying to come after them, and then Owen's trying to bring Henry back to life, which he does. And then Dani runs up to the Lady at the Lake, and she doesn't know what to say, but she's just like, I'm just going to say these words that she heard the kids say. It's you, it's me, it's us. The Lady of the Lake turns around and essentially takes over Dani.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, we're given to understand that ghosts who have no face, like the Lady in the Lake, basically have no real will of their own. They have instinct going on. And yet, for some reason, she hears these words, and she's like, oh... I can possess her, and she just wants to for some reason?
Well, basically, Dani feels the Lady of the Lake in her, but they leave.
Yeah.
And she basically is just like, feels like something, this is gonna happen one day. Something's gonna happen, she feels like something's coming, she feels her inside her. Years go by, five, six, seven years go by.
At least 10 years. Jamie and Dani are a couple. Miles and Flora are living with their uncle, who is raising them now. He's no longer a disinterested family member. And it sounds like they're thriving, but more importantly, and more stupidly, they don't remember anything that happened at Bly Manor?
Yeah. I understand that they were kids, but they're definitely old enough to remember.
Yes.
That makes no sense.
They're 7 and 10. They would remember everything.
Yeah. And, well, apparently they don't. 10 years passed. Dani starts to see the Lady of the Lake in her reflection, and basically, one night comes, she has a dream, and she wakes up, and she was about to choke Jamie, and she realizes this is the time I need to go, I basically need to sacrifice myself, so I don't do this to the one that I love. So, what I'm taking from here, that's not what's said. Jamie finds a note, she goes to the lake at Bly Manor, finds Dani at the bottom of the lake, having had killed herself, and Jamie apparently says those words, it's you, it's me, it's us, but Dani is now one with the Lady of the Lake, and she has the choice whether to take it, and she's just like, nope. So, at the very beginning of this series, it's a lady telling a story of all of what's going on right now. Now, we're back to this old lady. She's talking to this couple, And we find out that it's actually Flora, all grown up, at her wedding.
Yes.
But she doesn't recognize the name of Bly Manor. Apparently, Flora is her middle name now.
She forgot everything,
She Casey. No longer has an English accent. What? I can't.
Isn't that a cool twist? It was so surprising.
Well, here are our fixes for this mess.
It's deep. Deep fixes. We're just gonna have to rewrite this whole thing, basically.
Yeah. Basically, we just kind of want to build up the story and the ghost.
Yeah.
We still have Danny wanting to get away from something.
Yes.
We still have Rebecca being killed off. In the beginning this time, though.
Exactly.
Henry still being a workaholic. We do like that scene with Miles at the school where he gets the letter from his sister.
It's good. It's
solid. Come home. Yeah. And then basically that still same kind of murder. Basically, they think Peter murdered Rebecca. And killed himself.
A murder-suicide.
Yeah. But it's still kind of the same thing where he actually took over her body and killed her, but they don't know that.
Right.
And that first act, those first few episodes, we want her to be killed. We want Jamie to be killed off.
Jamie goes first.
By the lake lady. So basically all these characters, not all of them, but most of them are slowly going to dwindle. She's just the first victim.
We're just going to keep this whole story in traditional horror movie slasher fashion. There is one monster stalking all of our characters, and they are dwindling one by one. And we'll reveal our spooky monster at the end of Act 1, where Jamie's killed.
Yeah. And then Act 2, the next three episodes, they're trying to find out information on this quote-unquote monster, this ghost.
Danny is, because she's the only one who really takes this much more seriously.
We want that origin story that was originally Episode 8 to be Episode 5. And
we can frame that as Danny found Arthur's journal, say.
Yeah.
And then she's just reading it.
At what happened.
Right.
How he found Perdita and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And we'll also have Owen die in this next act, where he finds Peter talking to Miles. And it could kind of be the same thing with what happened to Hannah. Peter takes over Miles, and Miles just pushes Owen out the window.
Or something like that.
But we're going to have the ghost be basically confined to the house, except for the Lady of the Lake. So they can't leave the house, not the property.
Here's a good principle when you're writing any kind of horror fiction. Your monster and your threat needs some kind of limitations. Because that way, it gives our heroes a chance to actually think and be resourceful. And then either be victorious or be tragically unable to overcome, even though they had a reasonable chance of victory.
Yeah. And we also thought it would be kind of interesting, like, that moment, which is just what I thought was going to happen, but did not. That moment where we see in episode 8 originally, Viola, basically they have, like, a priest or someone come to her and have her say a prayer.
It's the last rites.
Yeah. And she just, like, no, I don't want to say it. She's, like, basically denouncing God.
She all but sits up and shakes her fist at God.
Yeah, this is where I thought it was going, but it didn't. But I thought it would be
interesting. That's what I thought it was going
to. Where Viola denounces God and makes it where when she died, it kind of turned into something demonic due to her choice from denouncing God. Yes,
give that a little bit of flavor.
Yeah.
In it.
Moving on to Act 3, the last three episodes, they're going to confront the monster. Basically, we're going to have where Danny kind of comes up with some type of plan. And since reading Arthur's journal, she finds out that it kind of comes from that chest that he threw in the lake.
Yes.
So she's going to go and get that chest and bring it inside the house to, like, the foyer near the doors. She's going to try and get a hold of Perdita and the other ghost. Actually, we're going to have this happen right before she brings the chest. But she's going to give these ghosts an idea, like, listen, she's the whole reason you guys are here. If you listen to me and you act up against her...
Together, united, we can beat her.
Yeah. And you can be at peace and you can leave this manor and move on. Then, somehow she convinces them.
Yes.
They reveal themselves to her. Oh, also, in the show, there's these talismans in Flora's house. So basically, I was going to have her put all of the ghosts in that one foyer room.
Yes.
So they kind of have no choice but to be there.
They're attached to the talismans.
Yes.
These little dolls.
So at first, when she starts talking, they're not there. But when they listen and they hear what her plan is, they're like, okay, let me reveal myself real quick.
Yes.
Basically, she gets that chest. She brings it inside. And the ghosts are going against Viola right now. Perdita, all the other ones that Viola's killed. And Danny takes this as a moment to take the kids and get out of the house because now they're all tied to the house, so they can get out, they're fine. But as she's getting out, her and Hannah are trying to take the kids.
The ghost of Peter snatches Miles by the arm, say, or the scruff, or by the shoulder, or somehow, and grabs him and keeps him from leaving the house.
Right. And basically it's just like, no, you all cannot leave until this is finished. And they can't get Miles away, so then Danny comes up with this plan, and Henry just happens to arrive in the moment, kind of like how he did at the end of the show.
Oh my god.
And she's like, listen, I need you to take some gasoline, go around the house, and put it around.
Yes.
And she's like, I have an idea. Just put the gasoline around the house and throw it onto the chest.
Hannah's with the kids trying to wrestle with Ghost Peter.
Yeah. So Danny runs in the house. She goes to Flora's dollhouse, grabs all of the ghost talismans except for the Lady of the Lake. She keeps it there. She grabs all of theirs. So as she's like running down, she throws the talismans outside of the house, which also brings Peter outside. So Miles is outside as well.
Thus freeing Miles, allowing him to get outside.
Right. And all the ghosts are outside. So then Henry runs inside. He puts the gasoline on top of the chest. The ghost of Viola comes to him, kills him.
And by this point, Hannah's dead too. Let's just say Peter killed her while she was watching the kids or whatever. And then our final girl, Danny. It's Danny versus Viola. Let's do this. And even though Danny's just kind of helpless, she kind of runs for a bit, trying to find some way to light the manor, and it's not working for her. Let's say she grabs some flint and steel and she can't get it good enough, but then she kind of falls down while she's kind of running from Viola, and it's near a table where one of Peter's lighters is nearby, but Viola doesn't know that. However, Danny does know where the lighter is, and she kind of talks at her and taunts her a bit and kind of distracts her long enough so that she can kind of grab the table cover and pulls it down, grabs a lighter, manages to like be near the chest somehow, and then lights the chest, and then we see Viola all of a sudden burst into flames, which gives
Danny the chance to just run out really quick before the entire manor burst into flames.
With the kids.
Right. Going back to what you just said, Danny runs out, she's with the kids, and then all the ghosts
safe.
Are like, have a relief, kind of how they did in the end whenever Danny took over.
By this point, it's daybreak.
Yeah.
To say.
The ghosts have like a relief, and they're like,
thank you, goodbye.
Yeah, and and then they just poof, on to peace.
And then we can have an epilogue, because this is a TV show, we have time for that. We can have an epilogue where basically we kind of detail, yes, Danny adopted the kids because of some insurance money that was left over for them. She was able to support them because Henry is kind of rich.
Yeah.
And then we can have back to our wedding setting if we have to.
Yeah.
We didn't really plan to have that as a framing device. If we want to have it as an epilogue, we totally can.
Yeah. So there you go. That is our version of how we think Bly Manor could have gone. What do you think, David?
I mean, God, Bly Manor is seriously disappointing.
It's just really sad because Hill House was so, it was so good.
And it's such a niche kind of genre. Horror is so very seldom done well, and Haunting of Hill House did it well.
Yeah.
And it's super sad that they just kind of dropped the ball and never again.
Well, like how you mentioned about American Horror Story, I mean, not every season is the best. But there's definitely several seasons, like season one was really good.
I heard that one was good.
Yeah, that was Murder House. And then like Coven, I thought was really good. Mm. Hotel was all right. Like they weren't all amazing, but they were all more or less pretty good, you know? This was just disappointing.
Well, Bly Manor is just a mess. It's not even okay. It's just a huge mess. Narratively, character-wise, plot-wise, all of it.
Yeah. So, obviously, our recommendation would be Haunting of Hill House, for sure. But we also would like to give you another recommendation, because it's a show we just finished.
Oh, God, WandaVision.
Yes.
Watch you some WandaVision. It is an excellent, excellent show. It is a bit confusing, but you'll get there. It's really smart, really good.
It was really, really good. I was very impressed. And I was so surprised that Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany were like, yeah, we'll do a TV show. But
Elizabeth Olsen, my other crush.
It was so good. So yeah. We would definitely recommend those to you. And stay tuned for our next film or TV show. We'll keep it a little mystery this time.
Keep it a secret. We'll let you know.
It might be because we don't know, but probably not.
Shut up.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See ya.